And now, Don Blackwell.
One of the simplest commandments that the Lord ever gave was the command to be baptized. In Mark 16:16, Jesus said, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved." But friends, as simple as that commandment is, there are those who argue with it. There are those who will say that a man does not have to be baptized in order to be saved. Friends, the answer to this question about baptism will affect where your soul will spend eternity. Won't you take the time to tune in to the program today and see what the Bible has to say about this most important subject. In today's study, we're going to be talking about baptism from the book of Acts. Now, someone says, why from the book of Acts? And the answer is because the book of Acts is the book of conversions. It gives us numerous examples of what people did in the first century to become Christians and to have their sins forgiven. And so today, if I want to know what I have to do to have my sins forgiven, what better place to begin than the book of Acts? First, we want to talk about the authority for baptism. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17 says, "Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord." Now, in the name of the Lord means by the authority of the Lord. And this is true of baptism, as it's true of all things that we do in religion. And the book of Acts teaches us that baptism is to be performed in the name of the Lord, that is, by His authority. Acts 2:38 says, "Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ." Acts 8:16 says, "Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." Acts 10:48 says, "And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord." Another example, Acts 19:5, "They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that we have to say those words every time, that it's some type of a formula. It means that we baptize by the authority of Christ. And that's evident from the fact that these words are not consistently said in the exact same manner throughout the Scriptures. It's not some type of verbal formula that we go through. Rather, it's that we do it according to the will of the Lord, to the authority of the Lord. Again, we're to do all in the name of the Lord. But that doesn't mean that I have to walk around saying, "I'm doing this in the name of Jesus, I'm doing this in the name of Jesus." The Bible teaches we are to repent in the name of the Lord. We are to preach in the name of the Lord. But that doesn't mean we have to say those words in everything that we do. Secondly, I learned from the book of Acts not only the authority for baptism, but I also learned the element for baptism. We are told directly in the book of Acts that water is the element to be used in New Testament baptism. In the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8, the Bible says, "They came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, 'See, here is water.' And they went down both into the water, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water," Acts 8:36-39. I want you to notice that four times the water is stressed. Also, we are told directly that the water was used in the conversion of Cornelius and his household. Acts 10:47-48, Peter asked the question, "Can any forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Friends, the Bible teaches us directly that water is the element of New Testament baptism. But it also teaches us indirectly that water is the element for baptism. Notice again in Acts chapter 10 in the conversion of Cornelius. Peter asked, "Can any forbid water that these should not be baptized?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Now, in Acts chapter 2, the baptism that was commanded was baptism in the name of the Lord. Now, what type of baptism was it? The baptism commanded in the name of the Lord, we see from Acts 10, is water baptism. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, Peter said, "Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ." The people of Samaria were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Acts chapter 19, verses 5 through 7, the 12 Ephesians were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And so when we understand that the baptism commanded in the name of the Lord is water baptism, we logically conclude that the baptism of all of these passages was water baptism. And also outside of the book of Acts, many passages also point to water baptism. John chapter 3 and verse 5 says, "We are born of the water and the Spirit." Hebrews 10 verse 22 says, "Our bodies are washed with pure water." 1 Peter 3:19 through 21 tells us, "Eight souls were saved by water." The like figure, even baptism, does now also save us. Friend, I want you to notice that New Testament baptism, the one baptism of Ephesians 4 and 5, is not Holy Spirit baptism. It is water baptism. Now, I know that for several reasons. Number one, Holy Spirit baptism was never a commandment. It was a promise to be received, according to Acts chapter 1 and verse 5. Holy Spirit baptism was not for the purpose of salvation, but rather it was to guide the apostles into all truth, John 16 and verse 13. And thirdly, Holy Spirit baptism cannot be administered by man. And since we are commanded to go into all of the world, teaching and baptizing all nations, then we know that Holy Spirit baptism cannot be the baptism of the Great Commission. Friends, from the book of Acts, I learned the authority for baptism. I also learned the element. I learned that it is water. But number three, in the book of Acts, we learn who is a scriptural subject for baptism. In the book of conversions, the book of Acts, we read about murderers being baptized. Acts chapter 2, 36 through 41. We read about sorcerers. Acts 8 and 12 and verse 33. We read about noblemen. Acts 8, 26 through 41. About the morally upright. About persecutors. About religious people. About business people. About jailers. Heathen philosophers. Sensualists. Those who had previously been unscripturally baptized, men and women, Jews and Gentiles. But all of these people, before they were baptized, had to meet certain prerequisites. There were certain things they had to do before they could be baptized according to the plan of God. First, before any of these people were baptized, they had to be individuals who were hearers. That is, they had to have heard the gospel. And friends, that is seen consistently throughout the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 18 and verse 8, the Bible says, "And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized." And so a man must hear the gospel before he can become a Christian, before he can be baptized. But secondly, before anyone was baptized in the New Testament, they were believers. Upon hearing the gospel, they had to believe it. When the eunuch asked Philip, "What does hinder me from being baptized?" Philip answered, "If you believe with all of your heart, you may." And it was only after he answered, "I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God," that the chariot stopped and he was baptized. We also read about the Corinthians in Acts chapter 18. The Bible tells us that they were believers prior to being baptized. Acts 18 and verse 8 says, "And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all of his house. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized." We could go on with other examples, such as the Samaritans, or Simon the sorcerer, or the Philippian jailer. But the point is, all of those who were scripturally baptized in the New Testament were first believers. But not only were they hearers, not only were they believers, but they were penitent. You see, the Bible teaches that before a man can be baptized for the remission of his sins, he must first repent. The book of Acts illustrates this numerous times. Saul of Tarsus gave crystal clear evidence that he was penitent before being baptized. Acts chapter 9, verses 9 through 11. The Ethiopian eunuch was unquestionably penitent prior to his immersion, and that's indicated by the fact that he was willing to leave his old religion and embrace the truth. And notice the order given in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. The Bible says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins." Friends, you see, a man must be penitent prior to being baptized. Otherwise, baptism is useless to him. The book of Acts also teaches us that confession must come prior to baptism. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 10, the Bible tells us that with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And we see this illustrated in the book of Acts. The Bible tells us about the Ethiopian eunuch. As they came to the water, the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Philip said, "If you believe with all of your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And friends, since no one has the right to be baptized who is not a believer, the confession is made prior to baptism, indicating that the candidate is a scriptural subject. All of these things were prerequisites. They were things that were required prior to baptism into the New Testament church. A man must hear the gospel. He must believe the gospel. He must repent of his sins. He must confess his faith in Christ for the remission of sins. Friends, the subject of baptism is probably one of the most controversial subjects in the denominational world, in the religious world. It's not because God was confusing about how he spoke to us on the subject in the Bible. It's because men simply do not want to accept what the Lord has said. Jesus said in Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." Now, many people in the world today will tell you baptism has nothing to do with salvation, but Jesus stated it as a requirement in order to be saved. Peter said in a very straightforward manner in 1 Peter 3 and 21, "The like figure whereunto baptism does now also save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God."